Thank you. We'll begin by doing a report back on our closed session items. Mr. City Attorney.
Yeah, we have nothing to report at this time. However, at such a future council meeting as the employee contracts are going to be acted on by the council, that will certainly be an open session item.
Please.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Here.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly.
Here.
Mayor O'Malley.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. First is an approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilwoman Fonzie, seconded by Councilmember Sturdivant. It's tough to get old, isn't it, Jerry? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Move on to our consent calendar. Does any member of the council wish to pull any item? None. Any member of the public wishing to pull any consent calendar item? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to council and entertain a motion.
Move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
Motion by Councilmember Clay, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on to updates from the city manager.
Mayor and Council, we continue to have exciting news here in Atascadero. We have many projects, eight different restaurant projects trying to open in the downtown right now. We have the Brew House, which is opened in the historic Keach Building. Little Caesar's Pizza opened in Adobe Plaza. Cold Stone Creamery is scheduled to open next week in Colony Square. Que Pasa and Subway at Colony Square have both submitted tenant improvement plans. The new drive-through at Starbucks behind Rite Aid is scheduled to be open the first week in July. Gibson Brothers Barbecue from Arroyo Grande has signed a lease with the former Carl's Jr.'s building in Adobe Plaza. We don't have any word on the opening dates yet. Macy's Deli and Drinkery is installing tenant improvements next to Terry's Bar downtown on El Camino. And the Weisong's Barrel Room Tasting is moving ahead on Traffic Way. So we're really excited about all of those projects. The housing element, as you know, we've been working on for some time. We just received notice from the state that our housing element, the element of our general plan, has actually been certified. This opens the door for a variety of state affordable housing grants and even a parkland grant, and it protects the city from lawsuits that could hinder the permitting of large commercial projects. So we're excited about the efforts on behalf of Warren Frace and his staff to get that housing element put together. And as you know, we had talked about some implementation projects that need to occur, including the homeless shelter information, as we begin implementing that housing element. And lastly, we have tonight with us a dignitary from Caltrans, Rich Krumholtz. We're so excited to have him in the North County. We've received a variety of questions about landscaping for the 101-41 interchange and the maintenance of all the Caltrans property along the 101 corridor. And Mr. Krumholtz agreed to just come and speak with you and try to answer those questions. He's the district director for District 5. He's here to answer the questions. We've also, just reminding you, have been working with Mr. Krumholtz's staff on trying to remove non-native trees to make downtown more visible, especially for those, the Hoover and Denny.
But the mayor asked me if I would come and talk to the council, and I said I would be happy to do that. I am very frustrated, and I know the mayor and the council is also frustrated that we haven't been able to complete the 41-101 interchange. And by that, I mean completing it with the landscaping that is absolutely going to be done. Unfortunately, it's not being done on the schedule that you would like to see and that I would like to see. And it really is a funding delay. The Caltrans, my staff, delivered 100% of the project plans. We are absolutely ready to get a contractor out there and go to work. However, I cannot do that until the California Transportation Commission, and that, by the way, that's not Caltrans. The California Transportation Commission pretty much controls the funding for transportation. They're a separate entity from Caltrans. So we have to wait until they allocate the funds. The best case, after talking to my folks in Sacramento, is that the CTC would allocate in August at their August meeting. So once, again, that would be best case, and I must put a little caveat out there that the CTC cannot allocate the money until we have a state budget for fiscal year 11-12. So you can see there's a few dominoes that have to fall into place before we can get those plans off the shelf that are ready to go and get a contractor out there. So that would mean if the CTC did allocate the funding, it would take us a month or two to advertise and then go through the bids, select a contractor, and get them out to work probably in the fall. And then, of course, what we always are worried about is early rain, and that would potentially delay the project. But, if we can get the allocation in August, get advertised, get a contractor out there, we'd be in construction in the fall. As far as what that landscaping looks like, I've distributed a fact sheet to the council and staff, and you can see we're putting a pretty extensive landscaping effort, 3,000 shrubs, 230 trees. Most of those trees are going to be native trees, this is really mitigation for the what I think is a beautiful 41-101 interchange project. Because we did remove vegetation, this is mitigation. It absolutely has to be done. We're absolutely committed to doing it. It's going to be quite an upgrade of the vegetation we had out there. It's going to be all brand new state-of-the-art irrigation system that'll have remote controls and sensing devices. So I think we're going to be very happy with that. And we will continue to coordinate with city staff on if there's changes that you'd like to see. I've heard that there's some interest in some non-native trees being removed, other more native trees being planted. We'll certainly work with you absolutely to see if we can, because I had the same situation with a project in Santa Cruz at the 117 interchange. And it finally did get the beautiful landscaping with the irrigation and so forth. So, again, we'll get there, and I appreciate the city's patience on this. So in the meantime, my commitment to you is that our maintenance folks will be out there like they recently were, controlling the weeds, making it at least look neat as possible while we await the new shrubs and the trees and the state-of-the-art irrigation. I'm happy to answer questions, Mr. Mayor, if you'd like, if you have any.
Thank you. Well, first I'd like to comment, as you know, I've been serving on the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, where you join us regularly and served as president when we completed our 41-101 overpass. And I think we were all very pleased with your support for getting the extras on that bridge. I think it's the nicest in the county with the brick facade to match our historic buildings and the wrought iron work and the lights. I think it was very well done. And we're feeling pretty good up in Atascadero with that repaving on 101 from really Margarita on up through our community. And the traffic way overpass, I think your staff are really not only making it safer and wider, it is improving its looks. And this is an unfortunate thing, but I've heard your commitment, and I really do trust Mr. Krumholz. He's done a very good job for our community on so many projects, and I appreciate you coming out tonight and joining in with us and this commitment. We're going to see the job done. So
we are, and I appreciate the kind words. I did a little homework. I looked in our status of projects. It's incredible the amount of work being done in the 101 corridor between Cuesta Grade and Templeton. A lot of repavement, two separate very big paving jobs, a wildlife fencing project that's going to make 101 safer for the community here in Atascadero. And then we have a median barrier project that's also in development. So I'm pleased to see that all the progress the city is making, that we're trying hard to match that with the 101 corridor. And I do appreciate the kind words, and you do have my commitment on that landscaping.
Very good. Thank you. Council comments or questions?
Yes. Is there a landscape plan made up yet for that project?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
I was considering the location of the trees, because I think, like we mentioned earlier, as we go up the freeway, we wanting to get those trees possibly thinned out so we can see our downtown. I was wondering if there's been any consideration to the placement of these young trees that'll be initially planted, but in 5 or 10 years might block the view of our downtown, if that has been taken into consideration.
I have so much respect for our landscape architects. They're some of the best professional people on our staff. And I'm sure all of that has been taken into consideration. The landscaping is going to be beautiful. It's going to be in scale to what the community is looking for. Now, we do have, I think, some flexibility, again, to if
other Councilman Fonzie.
You mentioned that the replacement of the landscaping was a mitigation. Could you explain what you mean by that?
Sure. It's probably hard to remember and picture what the old interchange looked like, but there were a number of trees that unfortunately had to be removed in order to construct the new structures and the new lanes. And so it's very common that any trees or other vegetation removed has to be mitigated if it can't be avoided. And so the mitigation usually means for about every tree that you remove, you're planting 5 or 10 as a way to compensate for that impact. Sometimes there's habitat associated with the trees, and other times it's a visual impact that we're mitigating for.
Thank you. Councilmember Clay, then Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yeah, I have the same concern that Councilman Bob Kelly has, that, in regards to the trees, if they could be put in at the lower level, and the shrubs at a higher level where the trees didn't grow up. It's nice now that people, that pass through could at least get a little peek of our downtown and our city. So that would be my concern, that they were positioned in such a way that, they're going to grow and they're not going to, cover up our community.
We're happy to have our landscape architects sit down with city staff and review those plans and see if we're achieving what the city would like to. Again, we're a little bit constrained because we've got required mitigation, but I think we still have some flexibility in the placement of things.
Is the landscape on both sides of the freeway?
Yes, it is. It's okay. A total of about 4 acres. Not just along Caltrans right-of-way, but also some city street right-of-way.
So there could be some consideration there where, on the west side, it's not as important, from my standpoint of view anyway, in regards to the people being able to see our downtown and get a little shot of it before they drive through. So that might be a better idea, that, a higher percentage of trees are on the west side and a lower percentage on the east side.
I will take these comments back that I hear tonight to my landscape architect staff.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Sturdivant.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for your commitment to our city and to seeing this project through, and thank you so much for this update. As I've had many people ask me questions about what's going on there, and I'm very encouraged to hear the plans and that we're going forward. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And again, we have not only confidence in you, but confidence in our staff with Warren Frace. I think if your staff work with him, and if he's okay, you can pretty much count on we're okay. So we appreciate that
effort.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I think our that concludes your. I would like to complete our city manager report, and then we'll open up for public comment. Is there any other item that you were going to go ahead with?
No, that was all.
Okay, very good. We'll open it up to public input. Welcome.
Hi, Ellen Barreau, 9608 Laurel Road.
And former mayor.
And hello.
Welcome
to
back.
The look of our town. It is the look of our town. That when you drive into Atascadero, it's not like driving into Paso. When I remember driving in here, it was always lush, beautiful trees. I mean, temperature dropped 10 degrees. And I think it's important that we keep that atmosphere as well as being able to see our downtown. And then because you're here, Mr. Krumholz, I drive in the trafficway underpass, and I believe that's a different source of funding. The trafficway overpass is being redone, and it's done in the same style as the 41 interchange, and it has kind of ceased to be acted upon. And I'm not sure if that's a funding issue and if we're going to have the same problem with that, with the landscaping not being done at the same time that the, I guess they're reinforcing or adding facade. I'm not sure exactly what they're doing to the bridge, but it hasn't been worked on, and I'm not sure if you have any information on that. But it's going to look great when both of those are done because they're very similar with the brick facade and everything.
At the conclusion of public comment, I'll ask Mr. Krumholz back and
great.
Respond.
Okay, well, thank you.
And thank you for coming out again. Come on back if you have some things to share. Excellent suggestions. Welcome.
Joan O'Keefe, Atascadero, and I just want to say I support everything that Ellen said. But the Atascadero Native Tree Association would be very interested in getting a list of the plant materials, not necessarily where they're located, but a list of the plant materials that have been proposed. Is this something that Warren has readily available? You do have that, so we can get a copy of that?
Yeah, we'll okay. Go ahead with all your questions.
Okay,
we'll make sure we get
it.
Back.
That's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And Mr. Krumholz, if you could address those comments, we would agree with all of those, I'm sure.
The project that works on the traffic way underpass, that, as I mentioned, that's a separate project from the very large, what we call the Atascadero 101 rehab. But it's more of a typical preventative pavement project where we put a blanket of brand new asphalt over it. And I'm not as familiar with that project as I am the 41-101, but it's, of course, a much smaller scale project because it's primarily a pavement preservation project. And we're probably doing what we can with very limited funding as far as the underpass.
Okay. Thank you. And maybe I too, have received a number of questions about what's happening at Traffic Way, and I was probably going to bring it up at our next SLOCOG meeting with you. But maybe you could just have your staff get an update to our staff. Just what's going to happen there? What's the timetable?
I can absolutely do that, Mr. Mayor.
That would be great. And then we'll just make sure that we, Warren, just get it back to council. And why don't we just make sure we get a copy to Joan, since she specifically asked. And I assume then, Warren, you've got a list of the trees and items that'll be in the landscape plan we could get to Alps.
Yeah, I've got the full construction set with all the planting schematics and the plant lists.
Yeah, I think they requested a plant list, so if we could send them an email attachment with the plant list and they comment on any item not on the agenda. Welcome. Go ahead. Whoever is first.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, and staff. I'm Lee Perkins, and I reside in Atascadero. I'm here tonight as a citizen and as the president of the Atascadero Democratic Club. And this last week, the club passed a resolution to be directed to the City Council. Part of the Atascadero Democratic Club's mission is to increase the effectiveness of popular government. We believe the cornerstone of increasing effectiveness of our government is to support policies that foster good governance through transparency and accountability of decisions by our elected officials and public servants. We believe that the absence of transparency is the breeding ground for waste, fraud, and abuse of taxpayer monies. The severance packages and lump sum settlements paid to the City of Atascadero employees in the police department from 2004 to the present add up to over $500,000. These settlements reflect payouts that do not match the contracts between the city and compensated employees and constitute huge tax revenues that could have been better spent in the city to benefit its taxpayers. We believe to avoid fraud and waste and to ensure the public's trust of the members of the Atascadero City Council, all contracts related to non-represented professional and management workers and confidential employees of the City of Atascadero must be publicly approved by the Atascadero City Council, which includes a public discussion forum as well as a public posting of any proposed contract or change in contract at least 30 days before such agreements are voted on by the Atascadero City Council. Second, we support human resource policies to include verbiage to prevent threat of future potential litigation and any payments of $5,000 or more outside the usual monthly amounts of any employment contract of an Atascadero City employee must be publicly approved by the Atascadero City Council. Such approval must include a public discussion forum as well as a public posting of the proposed payment at least 30 days before such payment is to be made to the employee. This resolution is not about the personal issues in these settlements, but the lack of transparency to taxpayers and perhaps even City Council members themselves. It is about the discrepancies between payout settlements and the employees' contracts and the advisability of these immense separation payments. I ask, what will the City Council do differently to monitor separation settlements and safeguard the City of Atascadero's taxpayer revenue? And I'd like an answer or discussion tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker. And Mr. Gail, welcome.
Hi, I'm Gail Gresham, resident of Atascadero, and it's been a long time since I've spoken here. I used to come up talking about Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and other things. I'm here now about Education First, a homestay program. Mr. Cherry can remember when I went to him probably about 6 years ago, and we had 30 Italian kids downstairs at the pavilion in the Boy Scout room. For business partners who want to work with us to help find these host families, we're going to be using the Atascadero Junior High School as our base. We have families down in Corbett Canyon who will be coming up here because they want to have a Swedish child in their home. And I'm looking at this as an opportunity to get to know Atascadero in our downtown and bring economic as well as cultural benefits to our community. So I'm very, very excited. But I can't do it alone. I need some help. And two of our young people who were here last summer sent a video to me 2 days ago, which I would like to show. It gives you a sense of flavor. It's only 3 minutes. It's very sweet.
So. And Ms. Gresham did give me a call earlier, and I gave her the okay to take a little longer tonight because it's a good topic for our community, and we figured it was a little lighter agenda.
Thank you.
And you do bring in over 100 students to Atascadero, and often these foreign families come back later and visit our area. So I think it is a good cultural and economic.
Well, they have come back. In fact, I lose host families every year because those homes become filled with the entire family from Austria or Spain or France or China or wherever. It's amazing.
That's very good. Well, let's go ahead with that video.
About a year ago, we started to plan our summer vacation.
We wanted to visit the United States, especially California, but we were too young to go there alone. We tried to find an organization which, first, wasn't too expensive, and second, that you know that's a good organization. We now know that EF was the right choice. Of course, the organization is very important that you have a great time in a foreign country. However, the host family is even more important. We were quite nervous to see our host family for the first time. But when we got off the bus and saw them standing there with a huge poster to welcome us, we immediately knew that this was the perfect host family for us. Being a host family gives you the great opportunity to get to know other cultures and lifestyles, but also to show the students the real America. What is more, it's not only a chance to make friends all around the world, but also to get to know other families from your local area.
Well, thank you.
I'm very proud of our students who've been here. And in addition to being able to spend time with them, the families who participate have a fabulous time. The farewell party was at the Schechter's, Dr. Bob Schechter's home last year. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's an amazing event. And they do come with their own health insurance and a huge shopping list because they think everything's less expensive here. So they're here to spend money and have a great time. So
we'd like to help with that.
Absolutely. So thank you so much.
And how would folks get in touch with you if they'd like to be a host family?
Because I was at the Board of Soups meeting this morning and didn't have a phone number. Here it is. It's 466-3322. And I want to add one more thing. Carmen Castaneda is here because she's doing a partnership with the Boy Scouts regarding this. And it can show how the kids who live here also benefit. They do receive 60 hours of community service credits for the good kind for these kids for having these students in their home. Go ahead.
As a family host parent, I've experienced this 2 years and had boys, since all I have are boys, and who were Boy Scouts here in Atascadero, Troop 150. As a former Boy Scout Commissioner, I wanted to assist Gail, and I was asked that we could possibly promote this program to our Boy Scout parents. And what I wanted to interject was that in order to achieve your Eagle Scout, there are certain merit badges you have to attain. And EF has groomed one of the merit badges, Family Life, to be incorporated, and they could achieve this significant merit badge, which is one you must have to achieve your Eagle Scout. So in addition to achieving a merit badge, in addition to promoting this program, they can also do it as a fundraiser and receive $25 for each family that hosts one of these students. So if you get a group of five, you can get a little money for your investment in time, in your home, in a loving home, in an enriched environment. And I must say I had a great time with these kids, and we just did it. We had a great time. So hopefully all of you can network and perhaps share a little of this information to some of the individuals who may open their homes.
Please. Very good. Thank you for coming out.
Can I give you
brochures? And the phone number one more time is 466-3322 if you'd like to contact Gail and be a host family. And we do have a number of our staff are currently working with quite a few Eagle Scouts. We have a number of Eagle projects going on in our community, and we really value those. So thank you for...
26,000 settlement to the former police chief, Mulhall, who either resigned or was forced out, has raised a lot of questions and ultimately has actually, to my mind, been the tip of the iceberg in our city. If you look back to, and it was referred to in the Tascadero Democratic Club resolution, if you look back to Chief Hedwig, when he was when he left, he was going to resign from allegations that were found not to be true. He came back. He sort of resigned, then he came back, then he was put on administrative leave, and then he got a disability retirement settlement. And he got 18 months of health care paid by taxpayers' money. Officer Robinson, in November 2008, had a settlement, and part of that was buying 3 years of airtime at state time to add to her pension, which is nowhere in the contracts for anybody. And then another officer, Dana, in June of 2009, was given $51,000 for pain and suffering from a complaint, a grievance, which was never settled one way or the other. And then we have Chief Mulhan, who is out. And all of these total payouts, including their sick time, vacation time, which is contractual, ended up to be about $500,000. And I'm wondering, particularly in the case of the disability, it seemed coincidental that on May 12th in the LA Times, they were talking about the Bell, and we all know what's been happening in Bell, but the police chief pension probe urged officials examine whether the city manager there, Robert Rizzo, padded payments to chiefs who were being forced out. And, well, in Bell, they had about 10 cases where they're being investigated. And the city council there did not know that anything was happening. So two things I'd like to ask. One, I'd like to ask the city council if they knew about any of these, if you were on the city council at that time. And secondly, I would like to ask the city council to go to the state office, state auditor's office, and request a financial review of what's happening in the city with these settlements. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speaker for public comment?
I'm Joan O'Keefe Atascadero, and I wanted to talk about Carl's Jr. and the banner signage. When I was on the Planning Commission, I voted for that project as well as the Lube and Go. It was controversial because of its location. Caltrans, the entrance into El Camino, faces that shopping center. But the lot was so small, and it wouldn't support what most people wanted, which was a restaurant. And further, as presented to us, the design, the color palette, et cetera, was attractive. However, if they had shown us what it was really going to look like now, I would have suggested that we add conditions. So what do I mean? The windows are plastered with advertisements of food. And I actually like some of the food they sell, but I don't intend to patronize the place until they comply with their signage laws and be compliant citizens. The usual excuses that these are tough times and advertising increases business, but not that kind of advertising. Thank you.
Thank you. Other members of the public, welcome. And I hope you're going to tell us about the barbecue coming up.
That's what I'm going to do. Paul Nett, Tascadero Professional Firefighter Association. Just want to let everybody know this Saturday, 10 o'clock, or excuse me, noon to 3, Fire Station 1. We're doing a fundraiser for the disaster response trailer. Like I said, tickets $10. Santa Maria style barbecue, drive through. We'll have some tables out there so everybody can take a seat and enjoy the day and see all the hard work that's been put into the trailer and see where it's come from where it was. So hope to see everybody there.
Very good. Thank you. Planning on buying a couple tickets, bringing grandkids. Now, just where might we call? Because I think you'd like a count ahead of time. I see Matt Miranda has got his number down as 461-5070.
Correct. That's Fire Station 1. There's tickets for sale at Fire Station 1, and there will also be tickets for sale that day down at the barbecue as well.
Very good. Well, thanks for coming out and reminding us.
Thank you.
The phone number again for Station 1 is 461-5070. As for Matt Miranda or any of the fire folks, can help reserve some tickets for this Saturday. Thank you. Welcome.
Before you start the clock, if I might ask that my prepared statement is approximately 3 minutes, 45 seconds to 4 minutes. I would ask that perhaps you entertain the same courtesy that you provided earlier.
No, I would not. This lady called ahead of time, and we won't count your time here, but I would like you to try to keep it to 3 minutes.
I'll do my best. Marcia, could you place the information on the screen, please? Thank you. Good evening. My name is Mike Brenler. I'm a 30-year resident of Atascadero and a former member of the council. A few weeks ago, I spoke to the issue of settlements paid to several employees, settlements that exceeded $500,000 in taxpayer dollars. At that time, I began to notice vacation accruals that appeared unusually high and outside industry standard. And that prompted me to investigate. Using public documents, I conducted an informal audit, and I can announce to the citizens of Atascadero, I'm appalled at what I've discovered. Let me start by reading excerpts from the Atascadero Personnel System Rules concerning vacation accrual. Section 15.2. Accrual limits are established to avoid the financial liability associated with large leave balances. Employees shall cease to accumulate vacation once their accrued vacation balance has reached 2 times their current annual accrual. Now, last month, I began to analyze leave balance reports, and I discovered that 25 of the city's employee workforce had exceeded the vacation accrual limits, and many were significant. In one case, an employee was almost 2,000 hours over the vacation accrual limit. Collectively, over 6,000 hours of vacation leave have been accrued in violation of your provided by the personnel rules. For them, this has to be disappointing and frustrating. What kind of example is being set for these good employees? I'll also mention there's an anomaly with the holiday leave accrual. I've noticed that fire personnel have accrued over 8,500 hours in holiday leave, which is far outside industry standard. By my conservative estimate, the value for this holiday accrual is well over $325,000. Now, as a council, you each claim to champion fiscal responsibility. But I ask you, are you being responsible by allowing these type of accruals, which based on the annual budget appear as though they are unfunded liabilities? When we consider the settlement payouts and the payouts for accruals which violate the personnel rules, we are talking about $1.2 million of taxpayer dollars. And I see a certain irony in the fact that we're running a deficit of $1.9 million.
You are going over time. How much more do you have on your...
Three paragraphs.
How long do you think that might take?
Less than 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Go ahead.
So I ask you, are you being responsible with our tax dollars? And I'm also going to concur with Mr. Komar's suggestion for the welfare of the public. I urge you to undertake an independent audit and that you schedule this as a future agenda item. And I also ask you to adopt the resolution language put forth earlier by Lee Perkins. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public wishing to speak? Welcome, Ms. Bayrou.
Ellen Bayrou again, City Atascadero resident. Just a couple comments on the Democratic Club's resolution. I did review that as a courtesy to them, and when you really think about it, it's a nonpartisan issue. I think we have clubs in town that try to be active politically, but the issue of how we handle money as public servants is a nonpartisan issue. And I think as City Council, we have to always try to find ways to increase transparency when it comes to how monies are used. And I know, as a fact, for when I was on council, I wasn't aware of any HR policies that said we had to limit, and we always trust that our staff is following its own policies. So I think it's important that if these kind of things come to light, that we do our due diligence and research that and make sure that we are serving the public's needs. I do encourage that all the human resource policies are reviewed to protect the city from future litigation. I'm amazed how much that added up. And I think that, you know, when we're looking around our city and see things falling apart, to think that our taxpayer money is being spent in those ways, even though some of them are unavoidable, if we had some policies in place to help protect the city from those litigation events, that would be in the best interest of the city. And again, unfortunately, I know personnel issues are often confidential, but if it is possible at all to release information that at least notifies the public that we did all we could to preserve public funds, that would help. The whole issue with Chief Mulhall leaving, that was just a huge question mark in the community. Tons of rumors. I don't know what you could have done differently, but, you know, we have a
public comment. Bring it back to council. There are a number of points raised. I guess I would certainly agree if our city attorney could tell us how to avoid the threat of a potential lawsuit, I would like to know how to do that, or even protect against future litigation. In this world, that's a little tough to do, I'm guessing. But I think folks are referring to some settlements. I don't know that they necessarily ended in litigation. Did you hear from any of the comments made by the public? Was there any particular litigated issues, or were they settlements?
Well, I don't know. This is the forum for that discussion. I don't recall there being any lawsuits that were filed in connection with those items.
Okay. And I think it's, you know, we certainly want to work on anything we can do to improve on transparency. It's something we've taken serious, and we do pay attention to details. I did want to give staff an opportunity to, well, I think, report back on some of these items first.
Could we just
go ahead, Councilman Clay?
We're in an insurance pool.
Yes.
Is that not right? And if I'm not mistaken, a number of those payoffs were a result of potential litigation and may have involved the insurance pool. Didn't actually come out of our general fund. Am I right about that, Wade?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, if I can.
Sure.
That is correct. Each of those items were in some sort of a potential litigation, or we wouldn't have had a settlement agreement. We do use the services of the city attorney, and we are members of the Joint Powers Insurance Agency, and they also are typically sitting at the table providing all sorts of advice, and as you pointed out, in some occasions, they're completely in charge. In each of these issues that we have that have been brought forward, the city council was involved, was advised, the city attorney's office reviewed, the insurance offices reviewed these items. This isn't any one person making any kind of expenditure of taxpayers' money. In fact, I would venture to say, in comparison to other cities, we've done quite well with only $500,000 worth of settlement over all of those cases. And the intent of settling is to protect the exposure for a great deal more money. And the courts have been very lenient about the monies that they have awarded to plaintiffs, and cities haven't been haven't done well in court. And so certainly our insurance providers are very concerned about that and don't like to see us go to court. And so we do work in mediation programs. Some of those were in mediation where there would have been an actual mediator involved in helping structure those settlements. And so I believe that we have taken the very best action we can to limit any type of exposure for the city and to protect the city tax dollars. They mean a great deal, obviously, to all of us employees, and we have gone to the lengths that we can. Certainly, there are significant privacy rights in this whole personnel area. We're always, always frustrated. I get more questions probably than ever.
Of you, as I research my memory, it's usually something to this effect. We can settle for $100,000, but if it goes to a court or to a lawsuit, the plaintiff is likely to get a lot more, and to defend that is going to cost that much. You know, that those are the kind of things that I hear. And the other thing that I think is important is once it's turned over to our insurance company, basically we're out of it. Is that not right?
Yes. Once they're engaged in the item, they make the decisions. That's correct.
And basically we have to accept that. Usually they come back and tell us why they're doing what they do and so on. But anyway, I think from the public standpoint of view, this is very important for them to know this.
Well, did you want to add some, Rochelle?
Thank you. So my understanding is we don't have any unfunded liabilities on any of these items. We have a couple of categories in our budget of salaries and benefits, and that's what we pay. And sometimes we have to cut back in departments, but we haven't increased our budget expenditures because of any of these issues.
Our leave accrual is an unfunded liability, and it's a constant balancing act. Many years ago, and if you look at past comprehensive financial strategies, that leave accrual liability is included in there. Actually, when Rochelle and I both started with the city back in 1997, we tried to conquer this accrual issue. But it is a benefit that the employees have been utilizing, and it was at the time. And so in order to cap the benefit, we need to be able to pay it out. We need to be able to make everybody give everybody an opportunity to become consistent with the rule because they own that leave. And it hasn't impacted us operationally, the $500,000 liability. It is a liability, like was said, but we would have paid those funds either way. Those folks would have been off work, and right now we're hoping Rochelle doesn't take very many days off work,
right,
and that she gets the City Hall project done. And so it has been a give and take, but because we have not maintained that, the city hadn't maintained that before I arrived as city manager, until we're able to somehow negotiate something with our employee groups, all the groups, and establish some new process or a new ability to start with a cap. We have been told from our legal advice as we work through personnel rules, which we're updating again right now, that we don't have the ability just to begin enforcing that.
Right, and I was deliberately not quite ready to get into the accrual, which was another question that was raised. I wanted to try to address some of the settlement issues, and that hasn't created any unfunded liabilities, to my understanding. That's been dealt with either in the budget within salaries and benefits, or it's turned over to the insurance company where they manage that. And there are some cases, again, where we don't have the option of making some decisions. Because I'll go ahead. There's a number of topics I do want to try
No, but this is important.
Yes, go ahead. Let me go with Councilman Clay. It's Councilwoman Fonzie, and I'd like to get each council member an opportunity to speak, and we'll rotate back again. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Okay, I'm assuming that we're speaking only of the settlement issue. I have some comments on some of the other things raised this evening.
Yeah,
but I wanted to ask Rochelle or perhaps Wade if this state auditor's office is something that we would benefit by. I understand we do an audit every year, and this would already show up. And I'm a little confused about the request from Mr. Comar and Mr. Brendler regarding asking them to do an audit. Could you explain this to me?
Yeah, we do have
you currently have an independent auditor that you pay for to review these things. You get an independent audit each year.
And so if there were discrepancies, they would have already come to light.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
These items are not on the agenda. So my advice to you at this point, I think you've provided some responses, but since they aren't agenda items, they're not really the subject of should not be the subject of further discussion at this point.
I think we had a desire to talk about it a little more, and I appreciate that advice. I think just as we've agreed that we are in negotiations now on employee finances, and that'll be coming back to council, and we agreed that we would have a agendized item on that. Maybe that's an opportunity to hit some of these other topics, and we can review some of those accrual processes.
I think the accrual thing is very important and needs to be explained in the kind of language that Jerry Clay can understand. When you came aboard, there was a number of people that had much more time than we could afford to pay off. In other words, what you're saying, Wade, is we would have to pay them off to that point. Is that not right?
That's correct.
In order to get to that.
To enforce our own rule, and we didn't have that money.
And we didn't have the money. So that's the crux of the whole thing right there. And we still don't.
And we still don't. And it hasn't. I mean, we were trying to, defeat that liability issue to get it off of our books. But operationally, it hasn't really harmed us because we have been able to capture pay out those costs, the liabilities, when people have turned over through the labor account. So it hasn't broke any budget year in the last 14 years.
Thank you.
So I think it is one of those topics that is complex, and that's why we have a CPA heading up our finance team, and that's probably why the city manager hired her, who used to be an auditor of the city, and it's good to have such a person on board. But I do think the questions come up. I've certainly served on the finance committee a number of years and spent a lot of time looking at this detail. And I think we probably need to take a little more time publicly to go through some of these points Councilmember Clay brought up, just so anyone that has a question on this can kind of understand our complexity. So I would just ask that when we go through our normal budget process that we work on some of these topics and just give a little
letters. They have complied, but they typically put the banners back up again after a period of time. So I have been notified of this issue. We're in the process of contacting the applicant or the owner again to notify them that they're out of compliance, and we'll ask them to comply again.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to move on to others, and I think that we may have touched on all that we can. Now, our other council member comments or staff, anything else we need to respond to that you heard? Very good. We'll move on from community forum and move on to management reports. Next item, tobacco retail business compliance update.
Thank you, Mayor O'Malley, members of council. If you could bear with me, I'd like to refresh your memory on the topic. Excuse me. As you know, state law prohibits the sale of tobacco products to minors, but the state laws specific to the employee completing the transaction, i.e. the employee that hands the cigarettes or exchanges money with the minor that's purchasing them. It is not uncommon for municipalities to adopt ordinances and licensing programs that hold the ownership responsible for illegal sales of tobacco to minors. Currently, as you're aware, the city of Atascadero does not have such a licensing program. The Atascadero Police Department and the San Luis Obispo County Health Department do conduct periodic compliance checks with our area tobacco retailers. Last count, I believe we have 26 in the city. The results of these compliance checks you will see in your staff report, and I'll touch on them as I go. The compliance checks involve the use of minor decoys, which are sent in with the and given explicit instructions on how and what to say to clerks and to produce identification when asked. As you're also aware, these compliance checks last year revealed a spike or a trending in non-compliance rate, or in other words, the percentage of employees that sold tobacco illegally to minors. In November 19th, to be specific, our compliance check revealed a 22% non-compliance rate. March 16th, 2010, produced a non-compliance rate of 23%, and August 9th produced a non-compliance rate at its highest level at 32%. November 9th, Council provided direction to staff to implement intermediate measures with the hopes of increasing voluntary compliance with the state law governing the sale of tobacco to minors, and report back to Council no later than June of 2011, which is my intent tonight, with the results. Also, there was an understanding at that point presenting eight businesses were in attendance, noting that only two businesses represented had employees that were issued citations during these stings or compliance checks. We garnered the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce support, as well as Main Street. They both helped us out by distributing information to their membership, both regarding the scope of the problem as well as the upcoming forums. There was media exposure. The results of the compliance checks and a summary of the November 9th council meeting were covered by local mainstream media. And we also strengthen our relationship, we being the police department, strengthen our relationship with the tobacco retailers through personal interaction, which quite frankly was a catalyst for discussion regarding the scope of the problem as well as the potential for a retailer licensing program. Finally, and perhaps most telling, two additional compliance checks were conducted on November 9th, 2010, and subsequently on February 15th, 2011. The first yielding two citations, which would be an 8% non-compliance rate, a dramatic improvement, and the second resulted in 100% compliance rate, or obviously a 0% non-compliance rate, and those two, all 26 tobacco retailers were visited. Of note, the last compliance check, which the results were quite surprising to me personally, we employed the use of a male decoy, and his instructions were to go in and attempt to purchase chewing tobacco rather than cigarettes. And that was the 0% non-compliance on the last check that we did. So in closing, certainly we don't know whether we'll continue to enjoy this level of compliance. However, at this juncture, based on the apparent success of these intermediate measures, the recommendation is to direct staff to continue our current program, monitoring compliance in partnership with San Luis Obispo County Health Department, and I'd be happy to field any questions at this time.
Thank you. Council questions? Sure, go ahead, Councilman Clay.
My concern is there's four shops that just sell tobacco or paraphernalia. Are they included in the survey?
I believe there are five, actually.
Five,
and,
okay.
And I believe those are included in the 26 total.
And then my other question is, they're not supposed to allow anyone in there that's, under 18? Is that not true in those five businesses?
Coincidentally, we were just discussing that with the city attorney today on just exactly what we... what kind of restrictions can be levied on those types of businesses? I don't have that answer for you at this point in time.
Okay.
Brian, can you help out on that?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Linda Hendy with the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce. I'm here this evening to just remind the community that the Chamber of Commerce, along with the police department, worked together to bring to educate our business members in the community regarding this potential problem that they saw. And we went from the original 28% non-compliance rate to a 0% in the last forum. And we felt that that was a huge success. Contributed to the outreach from the city and the community. So we are very happy with the results of that, and we really want to applaud our local business members in town here. At this time, we feel that it would not be a good idea to enforce new licensing or fees upon our business community. Everyone seems to be picking up the business pace, and right now we would think this would be a little bit of a financial burden to add new permitting or fees associated with that. So that at this time, the Chamber of Commerce does not support any new ordinance when we feel that they're complying with the current process that's in place. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor O'Malley and Council. My name is Christiane Lefebvre, and I'm a health education specialist with the Public Health Department. I'm also a resident of Atascadero, and I'm just back from Sacramento, where we were speaking with our local legislators there. And we were there asking the same question that I'd like to ask you tonight, and that is, whose side are you on? The deadly tobacco industry and its retailers, or our youth, public safety, and life-saving tobacco control programs? Tobacco use costs California $18 billion in healthcare costs and lost productivity each year, whereas policies like tobacco retail licensing have saved the state $86 billion in healthcare costs. We also know that smoking kills more than 35,000 Californians each year, whereas programs like tobacco retail licensing have helped to save more than 1 million lives in California over the last 20 years. We have evidence that these policies work for cities like ours in reducing youth access to tobacco and saving lives. And we have the evidence right here. Atascadero has enjoyed the benefits of tobacco retail licensing over an ordinance over the last few months, with consistent enforcement and tobacco laws and looming threats of penalties, the nuts and bolts of tobacco retail licensing. The only difference is that our city is the one that continues to pick up the tab for this. Tobacco retail enforcement works, and it keeps kids from being addicted. But the retailers should be the ones to pay for it. Why should we sacrifice cuts to our services, our public safety officers be paid to take voluntary pay cuts, but we be unwilling to ask the tobacco retailers to take responsibility for a product that they choose to sell and a policing of their illegal practices? Just to be clear of it. So we do know that prior to us starting with the stings here recently, there was only a sting in 1995, 98, and 2006. So prior to us helping administer these, there are not many stings in this area. So I hope you'll join with me to reduce the burden of tobacco use in our city and ensure that we can keep our legal sale of tobacco rates low and be on the side of life-saving policies like tobacco retail licensing. I just wanted to answer one question that Councilman Clay had.
Well, we are over time.
Okay.
And
can I just ask, you had a question about the retailer stores. Can I answer that one question about the law?
Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. Just because you had it, no one could answer it. But the tobacco retailers that sell nothing but tobacco, no person under 18 can even enter the door of the store. Thanks.
Thank you. Welcome.
Just my luck. It's one of my issues. Ellen Barreau, resident of Atascadero, as you know, I have two teenagers in my house. As far as I know, they don't smoke, and I hope they never do. And as you know, I was an advocate for the tobacco retail license program when I was on the city council. And I am impressed that we were able to bring down these numbers And I was wondering what you're going to do with that, because it is easy to say, hey, we met our mark. Let it go. If it rears its ugly head again, we'll deal with it. But when you think about it, you know, prevention does a lot. And I think that I'm proud of our community for putting in a lot of effort to bring down this percentage. But when you think about it, there was a cost to that. There was a cost for our police force. There was a cost to the tobacco control program and the Chamber of Commerce. They all have other jobs to do. And I think it is not unrealistic to think that the retailers who provide this product and make a profit off of their products should pay a small fee to continue to fund the program. I know ethically they want to comply, but it does happen that when no one's looking, they stop complying. So I think it would be a very smart move on this council's part to say, let's agendize it, let's ask the community, is this something we really want to do? Because we're here to protect the public, and as we all know, teenagers don't vote, and they don't know about it. I didn't even know about this until I happened to be walking in the door. But I think we know from the past that this was a really important issue that needs to be discussed before we just put it back under the rug and not think about it until it becomes a problem again. So I encourage you to take some action. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment. Bring it back to council for comment. Councilmember Clay.
If we have an ordinance or a fee, we're still going to have surveys. Is that not right? In order to determine, just charging someone a fee does not mean that they'll never sell to a minor.
That's correct.
Right. So, I mean, that argument really doesn't hold up. Personally, I think that I hope someday, because he is an honest kid, and if he does make that commitment to me, he will follow through. But he wasn't willing to do that because he likes that damn stuff so much.
Thank you. Other council comment? Councilwoman Fonzie.
I'm very pleased with the results of the last two stings, and I want to thank you, Police Chief, and your staff for going through with this and doing this. This is very important to the community. I don't think there's a person in the City Council that wants our young people to be smoking or chewing or purchasing those products. However, we have an effective program in place at this moment. I don't see any need to levy fees against business owners, as our Chamber of Commerce, Linda Hendy, said that it is working at this point in time. I believe we're all concerned about this, and to give us something like this and ask us which side we're on the side of public health. There's no question about that, or we wouldn't have put the time and the energy into thinking this through, sending out letters. I know I personally visited every single tobacco vendor in the city to talk about this because I was concerned about it, and I know that we all share that concern. We're on the side of personal responsibility. I would like to see the business owners take that responsibility seriously. It is the law. And I would like to see the children in the community take that law and not break it. But moreover, I would like to see the City Council give the business owners a chance to perform. That this is a statement of trust that we want to see this. If there are problems that continue, we'll revisit. Thank you.
Thank you. Other council.
Yes, I'm not ready to impose a fee or a license on our business community. I think the question was asked, whose side are you on? I think we have a responsibility to the business people to help them stay successful in business by not charging them for every little thing that comes along. Obviously, we did a sting operation, and we have 100% compliance. I think at one of our meetings, Jerry Clay and I both said that if they don't clean their act up, that, you know, we'll be the first ones to implement the law. But they're doing good. There's so many agencies out there right now, Regional Water Quality Board, that wants to fine and impose all sorts of restrictions on no problem. In fact, I'm currently going to a dietary class, and it's pretty impressive that almost or a good portion of the food that they're selling us in the grocery stores are no good for you, and they can kill you with cholesterol and diabetes and what have you. So are we going to go after the grocery stores? I mean, there's so many bad things out there that I don't think we can fine or fee everybody. But at this point, kind of going on a tangent here, but I think the tobacco deal is with the cooperation of the Chamber, Main Street, and the police department that we've got a handle on it at this time.
Thank you. Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes, I'm very encouraged with the fact that the police and the businesses and with the education, that the numbers have come down. But I also am concerned about sustainability and the fact that we do keep on going from where we are now. We're at zero, so how do we keep that going? So at this point, I, too, do not want to impose anything upon businesses when it comes to a fee. But that does not mean that we will not look at that. If there is any, if the trend starts up, that is something that I would certainly consider, because at this point,
this is about personal responsibility for individuals and for us and for the business owners. And I agree, too, I think has been shared, this is a true partnership. And of course, I want to thank the Chamber and the Police Department for their work. But I also want to thank our council members, because I don't think we paid you any more than the what we already pay you. When we had council members, Councilmember Kelly and Fonzie, we asked them to take the lead on this, and I know they contacted every business, and we had a serious talking to that. This is something we do take personal, and we were very close to. In fact, we pretty much said this is it. We're going to do an ordinance if we don't get better compliance. We set a goal. We want to do better than any other city, and that was about 8% level that we thought was a minimum standard. Hit that on the next compliance check, and then hit zero. I think we were very pleased and encouraged that this can work, this partnership, and we don't plan on letting up on that. I think it's something I'd like to make sure we have it on a tickler file that we check back. I certainly, just a reminder, I think as council members we can take that on, and I think we do want to make it clear that this is something we don't want to go back to those rates we saw, and this is something we would stand with. So I think with that, we're open to some staff direction, or
could I make one comment?
Go ahead, Councilman Clay.
You know, the threat of a fee or the threat of an ordinance may have a better effect than the ordinance itself. You know what I mean? I mean, it makes them aware that, hey, this is important. It's important to the council that that we don't sell to minors, and if we do, why we're going to. It's going to cost us. So I think it may have to the contrary, a beneficial effect to the way we're doing it.
Councilman Kelly, you had a comment?
Or do we make a motion?
I think we don't need to take an action on this, though I think we do want to give some direction in terms of following up on this. Would you like to, Councilwoman Fonzie? Go ahead.
Sure. I would like to make a motion that council direct staff to continue to monitor the retail sale of tobacco products to ensure adherence to the state law that prohibits the sale of tobacco to minors. So, in other words, I'd like to hear back maybe 6 months from now.
Yeah. Second.
Let me ask staff if the way we've worded that, if that's realistic to implement. And I think we want to take some responsibility ourselves, too, that we get reminded to do that business visit and work with the chamber. Do you need more refinement in that direction?
Mayor O'Malley, I think it would be an issue of how many compliance checks to gather that data to really assess whether you see a trend or not. And that may be, in my head, 4 is a good number to really determine whether you can see a trend, as opposed to 2. And I think the 6-month time frame, I think with we could easily facilitate 2 compliance checks during that 6-month time period. So it's just a question of how much data you want.
I don't know if it's possible to get back up on the screen and any of the pictures. At some point, I wanted to talk about the bike ride and the winemaker dinner. And we had a couple of overhead shots. Is that, Councilman Lewis, maybe your Councilman Wade, that's the last thing you wanted to hear, I'm sure. Mr. Lewis, if you could work on that, why don't we, I'll go ahead with the committee reports, and then we'll end with council announcements under individual determination. So I have no report on committees. Mayor Pro Tem Kelly?
No report.
Councilwoman Fonzie?
Well, I'm going to give Council Member Kelly a chance to give a report on the meeting with the water company.
That should come not under the... That'll come under our individual determination, just
all
to
right.
Try to keep on our program here. But thank you. Any of the committee reports for you? Okay. Councilmember Sturdivant?
No reports.
Thank you. We'll move on to the individual determination or actions or reports. We'll go with Councilmember Kelly. Could you report on that ad hoc committee?
Yes. Last week, Roberta Fonzie and myself were appointed to the ad hoc committee to work with the Mutual Water Company here in town regarding the tier system that they have in place for the billing of the water use. With the increase of the water rates for the water company, it's projected that the increase in the bill to the city could be $15,000 to $18,000 a year. So along with Russ Thompson, Roberta and I met with two members of the board, Gregor Jones and Jackie Lerno, and tried to discuss to come up with a plan that would be beneficial, that would work for both parties. And I think we made some headway. I think their staff members, along with our staff, are going to sit down. We're going to try to work out a plan. So I feel very positive that in the near future we will come up with something that will be workable for both sides. And I felt real good when we left the meeting.
Thank you. Other council reports? Councilman Clay.
Well, I'm going to put Wade on the spot here, but... we talked today, Wade, about the new restaurants and why you felt that having, what, 8 or 10 more restaurants was going to benefit the whole restaurant industry. You want to expand on that a little bit?
Thank you, Councilmember Clay. I just think that having the diversity and the density of opportunities or restaurant opportunities gives more people a place to go, and I think that people get an opportunity to go downtown and check something out. If you head out and the place is full and you don't want to stand in line, or you want to try something different, and I think these gives us 8 more different opportunities and our sales tax report still shows that we have a huge gap. Some of these opportunities, I'm still one of the guys that frequents a lot of the older establishments. But some of these new places have been pretty interesting, and they offer a different choice, and I think that they're bringing more people out, as I've been in some of these.
Well, so if we can keep our people here, and we can start bringing people in from other areas like Paso Robles and such, why, that's going to be good for all our restaurants.
I agree. I was at all kinds of restaurants the last 2 weeks, and I never saw Jerry Clay.
Okay. I don't stay out that late, Wade.
good note to close on there. Other council member announcement? Well, first, then, I want to go ahead.
As far as restaurants, I did spot a banner in front of the old Carl's Jr. today that Gibson's Barbecue is coming, so it looks like that's progressing positively forward.
And we hear good reports on that. That should be a nice fit with the downtown. Thank you. I did want to mention Bike Month, and I want to thank Councilman Clay for joining me there, and I do know there were some other complications for other council members, but Councilman Clay, here is your official Bike Month shirt I have to present you.
So, thank you, Tom. You're in my size.
By the way, I've ridden twice since then. How many times have you ridden?
3.
Already?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I got to go again tomorrow.
You're going to have to go. Yes. In fact, we were very pleased. We did get some little notoriety is I didn't realize it, but this is the first time that a mayor in our county has declared a bike month activity. So we were recognized by Slow Regional Ride Share, and they made a lot of nice compliments to me. Of course, we know that actually it goes to staff, but I did want to pass that on. They're very complimentary countywide about our bike plan, and as you know, we did that with volunteer effort from our community, and we really appreciate that. But I did mention, as Councilman Clay and I have talked, I did continue on. By the way, I want you to know I rode all the way back to Santa Rosa School uphill on my bike. I was very pleased.
You know, a side note, Victoria was there, you know, and she's one of Wade's secretaries.
Yes.
In fact, she runs the whole outfit, I think. But anyway, when we left, she was ahead of me about, 50 yards or so, and I thought, man, this is going to be a piece of cake. I'm just going to blow right by her. Well, guess what? I couldn't catch her.
No, and the reason
she took off. She can ride, that girl.
Well, the reason is, and I commented this to our rideshare folks, Victoria is our star, one of our staff. She actually rides to work every day on her bicycle, so she deserves a lot of credit for helping organize this, and we appreciate that, but we did say, I'm thinking we're going to have a challenge to try to do this at least once a month, Councilman Clay, since I now have a bike rack on the Jeep and you're a regular rider. I did go on from this event, and I took my bike downtown for the little bit of a wine tour. We had the Art and Wine Tour where they encouraged bicycling around town, and
I'm not too sure those two things go together real well, but, you know.
Well, I had to forego the wine, but I did enjoy the bike ride. It was definitely better for me, but I appreciate your encouragement on that. We're going to do that some more.
I'll take you up on that. Let's ride once a month. I appreciate it.
Yeah. We have a lot of great sights to see, and we can do the business loop, I think.
It's always good when a 70-year-old can show a 60-year-old how to ride, you know.
That's
what I mean?
Right. That's right, and I appreciate it. The other thing I want to mention, we have another slide on, I believe, is once again, we're doing the mayor's winemaker dinner. We did a fundraising event in 06 that helped raise some money to raise the evening before the wine festival. You can give Lon Allen a call or check in down at Main Street office. They have tickets available, and you could support rebuilding of the bandstand, which is used so much in our summertime here with the community band and all those barbecues. So I just wanted to give a plug again for that. I think if there are no more council reports, we'll see if staff have any additions.
No report.
Then we will adjourn. Thank you.